You are Locked On Orioles, your daily Baltimore Orioles podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back in to the Locked On Orioles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. As always, I'm your host, Connor Newcomb. Today, we're coming to you from a Saturday morning, a little later than we would usually record. Think of this as the Friday episode, but we had to wait for the Orioles to make their moves on Friday evening, and Mike Elias and crew took it up all the way to the deadline that was Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern time to set the prospects onto the 40-man roster who you wanted to protect from the upcoming Rule 5 draft, which will take place on December 2nd. So we knew going in that the Orioles had 35 players in the 40-man roster, five open spots, but they could have also made some moves and open up some more spots as well, and that's exactly what they did. So on this episode, we are going to look at six players the Orioles added to the 40-man roster. The one prospect who was really a guy we thought would be added and was not, his potential of being picked in the Rule 5 draft. The other couple of prospects who Mike Elias thinks might be picked. And then, of course, the one move the Orioles made to clear a spot on the 40-man roster as well. We will get to all of that here on this episode. But we start with the Orioles adding six players to their 40-man roster yesterday. Those players, of course, all guys who have yet to make their major league debut, but here they are. The infielder, Ryland Bannon, right-handed pitcher, Michael Baumann, outfielder, Yusniel Diaz, left-handed pitcher, Zach Lowther, right-handed pitcher, Isaac Mattson, and the left-handed pitcher, Alexander Wells. So they take six prospects and add them. Now, if you listen to our episodes earlier in the week, we had Bob Phelan on Wednesday, and he came on to talk about who we thought would be added. And, you know, we really talked about seven guys. It was those six and Zach Pop who ended up not being added. But we were almost right on who we thought would be added to the roster. So looking at these guys, if you're not familiar with these prospects, just a little bit of a breakdown of who these guys are and why they were added. You start with Yusniel Diaz. He is the highest ranked prospect on this list for the Orioles. Their number eight overall prospect on the MLB.com top 30 for the Orioles. Of course, Diaz was the centerpiece of the trade that sent Manny Machado over to the Dodgers, the deadline in 2018. The O's got the outfielder Diaz back. He is now 24 years old, turned 24 last month, and he's been in Double-A for the Orioles. Spent 2019 in Double-A Bowie for 76 games. He had a .335 on base percentage, 11 home runs for him. A pretty good year, but it was riddled with injuries. Again, he only played 76 out of the 140 with Bowie. He did finish 2018 with Bowie after the trade as well, .329 on base, 5 homers in 38 games. So, you know, except for a little bit of rehab stints in Frederick and Aberdeen for about 9 games last year, he's only been in Bowie in his time in the Orioles organization. So without that 2020 season, the question is, you know, will he just skip Norfolk entirely and make the Orioles out of spring training and get on the big league roster on opening day? Definitely a possibility. He's got a lot of power in that right-handed bat, and the Orioles very excited about him again still. Despite us seeing Dean Kramer pitch well at the major league level already, Diaz is still that number one piece that came over in the big deal for Manny Machado. Next up on the list, the number nine ranked prospect on the MLB top 30 list, and that is Michael Baumann, the right-handed pitcher, who again, another guy who was in Bowie at the end of 2019. He started 2019 with Frederick. He had a 3.83 ERA in 11 starts. The Orioles moved him up to Bowie. He made 11 more starts for the Bay Sox, moved a level up, and got even better. 70 innings, a 2.31 ERA for Baumann. And Bauman's a guy the Orioles are really excited about. I mean, obviously we know Grayson Rodriguez and DL Hall are the top guys, but Baumann right now is the Orioles' third-rated pitching prospect in their system behind Hall and Rodriguez, who were both, of course, first-round picks and have really high expectations for the Orioles. Baumann, more of a guy who's got a pretty good fastball. You know, he was not a first-round pick, not a super highly drafted guy, but, you know, he's a big guy, 6'4", 230. He sits in the mid-90s with his fastball, and he can ramp that thing up to the upper 90s. He's been able to touch 98 and 99 in the minor leagues, and he's going to be a really good starting pitcher, you would think. He threw a no-hitter in Bowie in 2019, a 10-strikeout no-hitter. But he's also a guy who I've said before, if the starting thing doesn't work out, he's got the stuff to be a really, really dominant reliever if the Orioles ever had to move him to the bullpen as well. I just think he is a really valuable piece for Baltimore. Next up, go down to the number 11 ranked guy in the MLB.com top 30 for the O's, and that is the left-handed pitcher Zach Lowther, who was an Orioles competitive balance round B pick. Took him 74th overall in the 2017 draft. He's now 24. He will turn 25 in April of next year. A big lefty, but not a guy who's going to completely overpower you with his fastball. He is a strike-throwing left-hander. He's really a high 80s. He's usually going to sit right around 90 miles an hour with his fastball. But he's got kind of a lower release point. You know, he comes from more of a three-quarter slot, and he's got a good curveball. That's his pitch. He's got a solid changeup as well. So he's not going to overpower you, but he spent the entire year at Bowie in 2019, 26 starts, a 2.55 ERA in 148 innings. He had 154 strikeouts and 63 walks in that time. And he's a guy who the Orioles, I don't think, see as a top-of-the-rotation guy like they think Hall and Rodriguez and even Bauman and Kramer could be. But Lowther is in that next group, and the Orioles feel like, you know, if he down the road can be their number three or number four starter and give them consistency and give them a left-handed starter, he is going to be a really nice piece at the big league level. Not going to wow you with his stuff, but he's just going to be a really good, solid major league pitcher, it looks like, in his years in Baltimore. So he was added as well. You continue to look down the list of the prospect rankings for the Orioles. And next up, you get to a guy in Alexander Wells, who, you know, I think is an interesting name for the Orioles, because he was a guy who, it was not, you know, just a stone-cold lock for him to be added to this 40-man roster. I think he was definitely a guy who was on the bubble. Wells, another left-handed pitcher, 23 years old, who the Orioles signed back in August of 2015. And, you know, they got him from Australia. He will be 24 in February, and he is a soft-tossing lefty. You think of a soft-tossing lefty, that is Alex Wells. And it's a fastball, you know, that again, he's going to touch 90 with it, but he's going to get you out really with his other stuff. And his changeup is really, really good. That's his best pitch from the left side. You know, he reminds you of a John Means before Means had the fastball velocity uptick in 2020. You know, he's going to locate his fastball and he's going to get you out with his changeup. And then he's got a curveball that he can throw in there to continue to get outs. He will not walk guys. That is the big thing with him. If you're going to be a soft tossing lefty, you can't walk guys. You got to have good control. And he spent all of 2019 in that fantastic Bowie rotation, 24 starts, a 2.95 ERA in 137 innings, 105 Ks, but just 24 walks in 137 innings. He kept the batting average against down to 236. And he's not going to strike out a whole ton of guys, but that's the thing. He keeps the ball in the ballpark most of the time, which is big. Only 10 home runs in those 137 innings. And he doesn't walk guys, and that allows him to get guys out despite not having overpowering stuff. I think Wells is a really interesting candidate for next year. He could be a guy who fills into more of a Thomas Eshelman role going into next season, where, you know, maybe he gets some starts, he gets some long relief, he goes a little lefty-lefty out of the bullpen. The Orioles could use him a lot of ways when he gets to Baltimore next year. Now, next up on the list of guys that they protected is Ryland Bannon, who I think another guy who was not exactly a complete lock to be protected. You know, to go down, mention Wells, he's ranked 19th on the Orioles prospect list. Ryland Bannon is down at number 25 on MLB.com's list. And Bannon was another guy who came over in the Manny Machado trade from the Dodgers. And really, you look at that list, he's probably ranked fourth of the five players the Orioles got in that Machado trade, but he's still been a solid piece. He was an eighth round pick of the Dodgers in 2017. He will be 25 in April. Smaller guy, just 5'8". He's not going to be a guy who's going to wow you with his size, but he just continues to get it done at the plate in the Orioles system. He, again, was another guy who was in Bowie in 2019. You know, he played 110 games there with a .345 on base. He hit 8 homers, 22 doubles. Then he went up to Norfolk, played 20 games in Norfolk, and had success with the Tides as well. He's one of the few guys on this list who has had AAA experience as well with those 20 games with the Tides at the end of 2019. He's a guy who I think many Orioles fans thought might get a shot in 2019 or in 2020, excuse me, with the Orioles having, you know, not a lot of luck with their infielders. Andrew Velasquez struggling, Rio Ruiz struggling, Hanser Alberto taking a little step back from 2019, and all the injuries, of course, to Jose Iglesias. But Bannon never got his shot. Now he's going to get it. Mike Elias said yesterday in a Zoom conference call that Bannon's going to get his shot at being a starting infielder, and at the very least to be kind of the utility bench infielder guy for the Orioles come opening day next year. So we will really get a chance to see what Bannon can do. Again, don't let his size fool you. He still has some pop in that bat. He can hit the ball out of the ballpark. He is definitely a doubles hitter, but who can hit it out? And he can play a solid defense at second and third base. So we'll see how he really does at against major league pitching, because he does have a little bit of an odd swing. So we'll see how that plays at the next level. The last guy the Orioles protected, actually a guy who is not on their top 30 prospect list, according to MLB.com, and that is the right-handed pitcher Isaac Mattson, a 6'2 righty who is 25 years old. He'll be 26 next July. A 19th round pick by the Angels in 2017 out of Pitt. He ended up being, at least to this point, now there's some other guys who have been good too, but maybe the top piece that came back in the Dylan Bundy trade. He was one of the four pitchers the Orioles received from the Angels last offseason for Bundy, and he is definitely going to be the first one of the four to make it to the major leagues. Now, Mattson was pretty much major league ready when he came over, and it was a little bit of a surprise that he did not get his chance with the O's in 2020. He was at the alternate site the entire year, but never got his shot even onto the 40-man roster. But in 2019, with the Angels, he just shot through the system. He started 2019 at high A, and he had a 1.33 ERA in 8 games out of the bullpen. They kind of realized he was too good for high A, so he immediately went to double A. And in double A, 24 games out of the pen, a 3.30 ERA. He struck out 61 batters in 43 innings. And I guess they realized, well, he's a little too good for double A. So he's another guy who actually got a little bit of triple A experience in 2019. He went to triple A Salt Lake, 5 games out of the bullpen, 19 strikeouts, 5 walks, 4 runs allowed in just 9 1/3 innings. 19 Ks in 9 innings in his first appearance at AAA at age 23. He impressed at the alternate site. It was really more of a piece of, well, the Orioles had a lot of relievers in the big leagues who surprised them and were pitching better than they thought. So Mattson's, you know, opportunity never really opened up. I think he's a guy who, as long as he continues to pitch like the Orioles know he can, he's probably a lock to be in the bullpen on opening day in 2021. And I think we're going to get a good look at what Mattson can bring. He just continues to strike guys out. He's got really good stuff. I'm excited to see him out of the bullpen. But speaking of the bullpen, there was one guy the Orioles left off in that bullpen who could be available now, could be taken in the Rule 5 draft. We'll talk about that coming up after the break, and also talk about the guy that the Orioles let go, Renato Nunez, DFA'd to make room on the 40-man, what that means for him and the Orioles going forward. That's coming up after the break. Built Bar has come back even better. The protein bar that tastes like a candy bar, well, now it has even more flavors that make it taste even better than it already did. They've got new flavors like caramel brownie, lemon almond cheesecake, and carrot cake. That kind of stuff, you know, you start thinking about fall flavors, those fit right in right there for Built Bar. They've still got the 12 original flavors like peanut butter, mint brownie, and toffee almond, but the bar's still covered 100% in chocolate, soft and easy to chew. But they don't just taste great, they're also good for you. That's the best part about Built Bar as well. The bars are low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber, great for a keto diet as well. You talk about the peanut butter bar, it's got 19 grams of protein and just 180 calories while only 5 grams of sugar. This bar is delicious and good for you as well. So go to builtbar.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON and you'll get 20% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at builtbar.com. So we've talked about the 6 players the Orioles added to the 40-man roster. Bannon, Bauman, Diaz, Lowther, Mattson, and Wells. And you look at that list, you know, despite it being 6 solid players and feels like a good list, there's always guys who have to be left off. And for the Orioles this year, there were actually some tough decisions to make here. And if you feel like the O's, you know, this date of the protection for the Rule 5 draft hasn't been as big of a thing in the last couple off seasons, it's because it simply hasn't. The Orioles haven't had a system this good in a really, really long time. And the thing is that when you don't have a great system of prospects, you know, performing well in Double A and knocking on the door to the big leagues, you don't have to make all these 40-man roster decisions before the Rule 5 draft. But now the Orioles had all these names to try and add to the list. And the one big name that got left out, who is now going to be available to other teams in the Rule 5 draft on December 2nd, is Zach Pop. Now, Pop is another guy who came over in the Manny Machado trade from the Dodgers in 2018. If you're sensing a pattern, seemingly so far, now you've only seen one of the 4 guys at the big league level, but seemingly so far, Dan Duquette did a solid job in that trade of Manny Machado to LA. But Pop, a right-handed pitcher who looks like he's going to be a reliever, as he has been a reliever for most of his minor league career. Pop, who turned 24 in September, a native of Brampton, Canada, was a 7th round pick of the Dodgers back in 2017 out of Kentucky. And he was a guy who really went right to the bullpen when coming to the Dodgers because, frankly, he was a reliever most of the time in college. His last 2 seasons with the Wildcats, he pitched out of their bullpen. And the Dodgers sent him right to the pen in 2017. And then, of course, in 2018 at High A, he had a .33 ERA in 19 games, 27 innings at High A Rancho Cucamonga before he was traded to the Orioles. And the Orioles saw those numbers, and as soon as they got Pop in 2018, they immediately sent him to Bowie. He pitched 14 games in a Bowie uniform in 2018 out of the bullpen. He had a 2.53 ERA in 21 innings. He struck out 17 and walked just 6. Then he started 2019 with Bowie, and before the injury, 8 games out of the pen, 10 and two-thirds innings pitched for Zach Pop, 11 Ks, 4 walks, just 1 run allowed on 7 hits. That's a .84 ERA. But then he went down with the injury. He had Tommy John surgery. He missed the rest of 2019, missed all of 2020, was not able to pitch at the alternate site for the Orioles, but we've gotten some health updates on him as he's been rehabbing back home in Canada, and he's saying, and all reports saying, he is good to go for spring training in 2021. So now that he is, you know, been left available in this Rule 5 draft, this was what Mike Elias and his staff had to weigh, and we talked about this on the pod earlier this week. For Zach Pop, you know, it does feel like he's getting pretty close to being ready to get to the major leagues. You know, again, he hasn't had that many games at Double A. You know, it's been 22 appearances over 2 seasons at Double A. So he's probably a guy, if he stays with the Orioles, he's probably going to start 2021 because he's coming off the injury as well in Triple A Norfolk. And, you know, you give him a couple months in Triple A, and if he can get guys out there, then you start thinking about the big leagues. But Pop is now available in the Rule 5 draft, and if you look at the guys who are available from Baltimore in that draft, he is the top name on that list, a guy who was in the Orioles' top 30 for a bit. Of course, the injury and not pitching for a year and a half kind of took him out of that list. However, for Zach Pop, you know, you look at other teams' ability to get him, and the way the Rule 5 draft works is, yeah, you can get prospects from other teams who aren't put on their 40-man roster and have had a certain amount of service time in the minors. But the thing is for Pop, if you're another team looking for either a reliever to help you get to the postseason, or if you're, you know, a rebuilding team just looking for a young guy who you think you can stick around and you can build into your bullpen for years down the road, again, he's only 24 years old. here's what you have to consider. To keep a Rule 5 draft selection, that player has to be either on your active roster or on the injured list, and at the very least on your 40-man roster while he's on the injured list, for the entirety of the next season. So if a team does select Pop in the Rule 5 draft in a couple weeks, he would have to spend the entirety of 2021 on the active roster or on the injured list if he does get hurt again, but he does seem to be fully healthy again and ready for 2021. And I know there might be expanded rosters next year, could be looking, we're definitely looking at least 26 players, maybe 28 and potentially 30 for a little bit at the beginning of the season, depending on what happens with the 2021 Major League Baseball season. But for another team, you have to think about, is it worth it keeping an entire roster spot for this guy who has never pitched above double A, hasn't pitched since, you know, really April or May of 2019, and is coming off of Tommy John surgery, who you still don't know a whole lot about, hasn't been in your system, you haven't been able to evaluate him as much. Is it worth it to take that guy and put him on your active roster for all of 2021 and take a spot away from another guy when you really don't know what you're getting out of Pop? He could be a completely different pitcher after the Tommy John surgery. And I think for the Orioles, that was the reasoning in keeping Pop off of the 40-man roster. The thought process becomes they would love to have Zach Pop stay in the organization. I think they really like Zach Pop. But here's the thing. There's so many questions now with him coming off of that Tommy John surgery that they don't think a team would take a chance on Pop not knowing what he is going to have after the injury and that he's never pitched above double A coming off injury. That's a big risk to take a guy and commit to putting him on your active roster for all of 2021. And the other thing is, even if Pop is selected by another team in the Rule 5 draft, if you know they have him, you know, on their active roster April, May, and it's just not working out, and they feel like, you know, they don't want him on the active roster anymore, he gets returned back to the Orioles. So Pop could even be a guy who pitches for another team for a couple months and then is sent back to Baltimore in the middle of the 2021 season. And so I think Mike Elias was weighing the options, and the numbers and the data probably point to another team not being able to take that risk for an entire season and keep Zach Pop. So even if he is drafted in a couple weeks by another organization, I think he will be back with the Orioles at some point, and he won't be worth the risk. I think that is why Mike Elias left him off of this 40-man roster protection. And so we hope that Zach Pop stays around with the Orioles. Now, there were a few more guys who did get left off who were potential candidates. A couple of top 30 guys for the Orioles in the right-handed pitcher Cody Sedlock, of course, the Orioles' first-round pick back in 2016, who's had all the arm injuries, the Tommy John surgeries and everything. He has now been converted to a reliever. He was in Bowie in 2019, and you know, we should see him at Norfolk in 2021. He was available last year in the Rule 5 draft. No one took him. I don't think he'll be taken this year. And then the other guy is Brennan Hanafy, who is available as the Orioles' number 27 prospect, but he hasn't pitched above Frederick. And, you know, the numbers have been good, but not fantastic. I don't think anyone would take a chance on him. And then the other guy is Brett Cumberland, one of the catchers the Orioles got back from the Braves in the Kevin Gausman deal at the 2018 deadline. A guy who's not in their top 30 prospects, you know, again, hasn't, you know, been, you know, past Bowie. I don't think another team would take a shot at him. But for the six guys the Orioles added to that 40-man roster, they started with 35, they added six, and it's a 40-man roster, but that put them at 41. So Mike Elias did have to make a move yesterday to get it down to 40. And that move he made was designating for assignment Renato Nunez. And this was a move, you know, a lot of people had seen coming for a while now, and the writing was on the wall that it was probably time to move on from Nunez. Of course, the Orioles claimed him off waivers from the Rangers back in 2018. He finished the 2018 season with Baltimore, 60 games, 220 plate appearances, a .275 batting average, .336 on base, 7 homers, and 13 doubles. He got a starting spot coming out of spring training in 2019, and he took advantage, 151 games, 600 plate appearances, .244 average, .311 on base, 31 home runs, 24 doubles for Nunez in 2019. Then we saw him in 2020, 52 games, 256 average, 324 on base, 12 homers, and 10 doubles for Renato in 2020. So the power was always there, but the thing we saw from Renato Nunez in 2020 is that he simply cannot play defense anywhere. We learned in 2019 that he shouldn't be playing third base. He mostly DH'd and played first, but he played some third. In 2020, he continued to play a little bit of third. When Rio Ruiz was injured, it was ugly. So the Orioles thought, okay, he's a first baseman and a DH. We learned in 2020 that Nunez can't really play first base either. He's a defensive liability there as well. And he's essentially now just a DH. You look at the Orioles roster, you got guys like Trey Mancini, and guys like Ryan Mountcastle, and guys like Chris Davis, who are still there, all falling into that first base slash DH, maybe, you know, a couple more roles. You've got a guy like DJ Stewart, guys like Yusnail Diaz, who the outfield defense is a little suspect. So do you want them to be your DH? And with all those names coming in around that spot, Nunez was going to get squeezed out. And he was very likely going to be a guy who was non-tendered here in a couple weeks, where the Orioles just did not go to arbitration with him and instead just made him become a free agent because there's really no spot on the roster for him. And then, you know, Mike Elias saves, you know, a couple million dollars that he would have been owed in arbitration. But it's more because there was just no spot for Nunez anymore. And I know he hits the ball out of the ballpark, but he really can't do anything else. He's kind of a one-trick pony. And Nunez gave the Orioles a great 2.5 seasons because he filled a role and he hit some long balls. And again, the 31 homers was fun to watch in 2019, hit some big ones as well. But the time had come for Renato Nunez. He has been DFA'd. Even if he does clear waivers, Mike Elias saying yesterday that he will become a free agent. They're going to try to find a trade partner as he goes through waivers. But there is a very, very slim chance that Nunez is back with the Orioles in 2021. It seems like his time with Baltimore pretty much over. So a lot of people kind of surprised with that move, but if you were paying attention closely, you could see it coming. We weren't sure if the DFA would come now or if it would be a non-tender situation, but Mike Elias basically saying they had planned to move on from Renato Nunez no matter what, and when it came down to it, they needed one move to be done on Friday to clear the spots, and because they basically already had it in their mind that Nunez was going to be gone, that kind of made it the easiest move to make on the 40-man roster. But for Nunez, you know, we'll talk about him more coming up next week on the pod, you know, what it means for him going forward and where the Orioles go from there. And then we'll talk about the O's 40-man roster as well. It's at 40 guys. The Orioles need to clear at least one more spot if they want to draft someone in the Rule 5 draft in 2 weeks, which is what they usually do. So next week, we're going to talk about who could be those non-tender candidates for the Orioles. Could Hanser Alberto be let go? Could Pedro Severino find his way to another team? And could guys like Austin Wins, Cole Sulcer, and others, maybe Tom Eshelman and Travis Lakins, could they be DFA candidates for the Orioles to open up room on the roster? We'll talk about all that and more when we return here on Monday on Locked On Orioles Podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.